Jonah Williams from the Cincinnati Bengals, and I want to give a shout out to the Count It Out podcast.
Well, we are live, pals, and welcome to another edition of the Bill After, that is right, legendary Bill After, Sealed of Approved, Count It Out with Mike and Tyler. My name is Tyler, and I am joined to the Marty Jannetty, to my little boogeyman, Mike. What's going on, buddy?
Holy fuck. I went from what the fuck is wrong with you, thinking you were going to call me the Marty Jannetty to your Shawn Michaels, to holy fuck, I love you, when you really quickly made yourself the little boogeyman.
That is correct.
I mean, you're still, no matter what, you're still on the winning end of whatever. I mean, you're not little boogeyman. Never fucked his daughter. Sean never fucked a dude, as far as I know. Marty.
I thought I was giving you top billing here, since you outdraw me on our list lately. So I wanted to give you all the top billing there.
You keep saying that. Fucking. Let's be honest.
Please listen to my list, guys.
Not like last week is fucking blowing up either. So.
Whatever. This week, I think we got a shot, though, because I'm going to be counting down in a little bit the top seven Brian Pillman career moments of all time. And this is going to be a great one.
100%, and we got some cool shit to talk about. A lot of interesting news for local fans here, for fans of Barry Wrestling. Plus, we have a whole new segment we're going to unveil tonight. So tonight's going to be a good show.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with Barry Wrestling then. I will be in attendance at their show this coming Saturday. So keep an eye on our Instagram for a lot of fun stuff going on there. Unfortunately, beautiful. You will not be able to make this one, which I'm very bummed out about. Not.
Yeah. Thanksgiving, but, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to work because nobody else wants to.
Yeah, fair. So. Well, as you guys may or may not know, we've mentioned it once or twice or 100 times that we are the proud sponsor of the Barry Wrestling All Ontario Cup. And then we got some dates to announce here. The tournament is going to be kicking off on October the 25th with the first block. It is the Wrestling on the Rise block. November 4th will be the second installment there. That is going to be the Cole Belgrave. Is that what it is? Block?
The Cole Belgrave block, yeah.
The big one, obviously, November 11th on Remembrance Day, for a night that you cannot remember, you will not want to forget. Oh, I had my 80s segue and I fucked it up. The Count It Out 7.com.
You went straight Sid Vicious on that one, man.
I got half the brain that you have. Shit. And I was on our own fucking block, too.
You know what? You can check more stuff like that from Tyler at www.countitoutwithmikeandtyler.com.
Yes, I did that on the latest installment of the Classic Match Classroom. Because I was excited, because I was going to put you over for how good of a job you do on our website, and I just plugged our show instead. So I made up a new website there that's non-existent. But we did have a great talk about the Iron Sheik and Sergeant Slaughter of the Classic Match Class.
I started listening to that show today. I'm halfway through it. It's a great episode. I'm really happy. I'm really proud of you and Anthony. You guys are doing some great stuff over on the I always call it the Count It Out Classroom. Because I'm self mark.
We should have named it that. Anthony, change but all the our social media.
Yeah. But Classic Match Classroom.
Called. This week we are going to be doing Jerry Lawler versus ECW. That will be the show that will come out this week. So I'm going to give Count It Out listeners a spoiler here. I finished rewatching all this stuff, and for me personally, I don't think this one held up as good as I thought it was going to.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to build all the way to Tommy Dreamer versus Jerry Lawler at Heatwave. That's the match that we focused on.
But that doesn't mean we're not going to get a good show out of you, out of you and Anthony.
I just let Anthony carry me, much like I let you carry me every week.
There you go.
Yeah, nothing changes over at the classroom. I'm still being carried every week.
You're that drunk teacher just waiting for his pension to kick in.
Absolutely. Although I will say I drank a coffee on the show the other day because we recorded during the morning time, and I made a point. I was like, I drink alcohol on my other show. This is weird for me. This is a weird one.
I mean, you could have spiked it with some Baileys and you would have been like any other teacher I had in high school.
I was just going to say, who says I didn't?
since you wrote up all the dates for the Ontario Cup, we have a little bit more information about the Ontario Cup.
The scumbag block is on November 15th also.
Beautiful. Speaking of the Wrestling on the Rise block, that's the only block that hasn't been announced.
As of listening this, it will be announced.
As of listening, yes. But as of recording, it hasn't been announced yet. It was supposed to be announced today, but as everybody knows, everything crashed today. Fucking Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything fucking went down today. So Barry Wrestling did not bring out their list. But there's privileges to being Mike and Tyler. You're privy to some information. So I got some information to share with you guys. If you're a Barry Wrestling fan, you already know this information by the time you're listening to this on Thursday. But if you don't know, now you know. The Wrestling on the Rise block. We've got Alessandro Del Bruno getting a bye in the first round.
Ooh.
Very much like Pretty Ricky in the Scumbags block. The first actual match in this block is Addy Starr versus Lionel Knight.
Oh, that's going to be great.
That's going to be phenomenal. Looking forward to that. Then you got Notorious T.I.D. taking on our boy, Anton Alexiev.
I can't wait for that one.
I love Anton so much, and I cannot wait for this match.
I grew up with TID. He was my kind of one of the first guys that I saw on the indie scene, and Anton is one of my favorite guys now and such a cool dude. I can't wait to see him on Friday. Saturday. I hope he's there.
And then you've got big John Atlas taking on even bigger Ben Ortmans. One of our personal favorite guys on the scene right now.
Yeah, Big Ben's great. And head over and see if you can get one of his new exclusive kind of, it's like the molded after the GCW logo t-shirts. And a lot of that money is going towards a great charity in Philadelphia. Is that where it is? Pensacola? It's in Florida, maybe. I can't remember off the top of my head. But look up Big Ben on all social medias and buy one of his shirts. It's going for a great cause.
Absolutely. If you haven't seen the shirt, for those who don't know, a lot of people may not know, the Big Ben played Nick Gage, on the Nick Gage episode of Dark Side of the Ring. So Big Ben's newest t-shirt is, it says, what is it? Ben DK? Ben DK, just like MDK from Nick Gage's t-shirt. And the coolest thing is, it's not just a ripoff shirt. He got permission from Nick himself. He got permission from Brett Lauderdale himself, the GCW owner. On top of this, 50% of this t-shirt is going to a charity.
An Animal Welfare Association of New Jersey.
Thank you. And this charity was chosen by both Nick Gage and Brett Lauderdale. Yeah. So really cool work by Ben. If you're a fan of Ben's local work, please give him some support. I know I will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of move on here. Was that all the matches? I think there's one more, or is that it?
No, that was the last one.
Okay, perfect. So, at Barry Wrestling, at Barry Wrestling for all things Barry Wrestling, check them out. You have come up with a great little fun idea here this week, and it's something that I'm glad you gave me a heads up about for a hypothetical this week. And I want to also give a shout out to Universal Wrestling Podcast, our friend Nick and Zach over there. About a month or two ago, they did something pretty similar to this, but ours is going to be a little different. Mike, what have you come up with today for us?
Well, WWE is doing their famous or infamous, no matter how you think of it, their yearly draft this week. So I thought, even though Tyler and I have no idea what WWE is doing because we don't watch the product, and honestly, we don't care about their draft, we thought we'd do our own. So we're gonna do the first of what might be an annual counted out fantasy draft.
Yeah,
where we're both going to basically pretend to be starting our own league from the ground up, and we get to choose 10 guys to draft to start building this league. Here's something, though, I didn't tell you, Tyler.
You bastard.
This is part one of three.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do this for the next 3 weeks, this week and then two more weeks. I want us to each draft 30 people by the end of this, because I think 30 people is a good startup league. And then, so we're going to do 10 today, 10 next week, and 10 the week after. And by the end of it, I want to compare leagues and see what we look like. I think it'd be really a lot of fun.
All right. That might change some stuff on my list then. I don't know. Oh. We're gonna wing this as we go here.
Okay. I guess I should have told you that, but I only thought of that idea an hour ago and I really liked it. So I said, fuck it.
All right. Well, first pick here.
Well, I meant to have a quarter ready so we could go Warrior style. So let me reach into my.
Well, for all of the listeners there, that is Mike's crotch on YouTube making his Counted Out debut. Hopefully the last time that Mike's crotch will be appearing on Counted Out. Oh, and he's unplugged his microphone. What a jabroni. I think I'm going to take first pick overall now, just out of crotch shots and microphone unplugs.
I will give you the pleasure of calling the flip, sir.
I call horsemen. Heads. Tails. I'm going tails. Right, I'm going tails. I'm going tails. Tails for the four horsemen.
Okay, tails.
All right.
And it is heads.
Damn it. I should have stuck with my guts. Damn you, four horsemen. You've let me down.
I mean, if you admitted that Tully was the greatest of all time, then
we'd be together. But Tully was the guy that I listened to. He told me tails in my head. Aaron was saying heads. Mm-hmm. Damn it. All right. Kick us off here.
No, Aaron had a gun to the head.
Oh, I love that that is becoming a thing.
I know you do. All right. So let's start this off. And I'm going to start this off with my first pick by kind of explaining how I came up with my personal picks. Because I feel like you and I are going to have two very different draft picks, mainly because I think we both would want to build a very different company from each other.
I think so, which is too. Cool. Mine is going to be good and yours is going to be terrible. So.
Oh, here we go. But the one thing this is how I drafted. I looked at a company such as AEW, you know, a company that we watched kind of build itself from the ground in the last few years. And there's a few things they did that I actually like and, you know, that were smart. The first thing they did was grab a genuine, known, solidified superstar like Chris Jericho to help build their brand around. All right. That's the first thing they did. And then they had the guys around Jericho, like Cody and the Bucks and Adam Page and guys like that, who were going to be their mainstay stars that Jericho was going to help get these guys over. Uh-huh. And then you had the smattering of the future of professional wrestling. They were bringing in guys like Jungle Boy and the Best Friends and stuff like that right early on. So right away, you've got the biggest star, you got your today's stars, and then you have the stars of the future. And that's how I drafted. And then getting lower on, I drafted just guys that I think would make the company interesting, different. So I went for my big star first. And I chose this guy because I think not only is he going to bring credibility and big star power to my company, but he is going to really right away set a precedent of what my company is going to be all about. When you see that this is my biggest star, this is most likely going to be my inaugural champion. When you see this guy, you're going to be like, okay, I know where they're going with this company. My first draft pick is the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Okay. Interesting first pick. I don't know. I mean, obviously AJ Styles is one of the best of all time, but I don't know. I don't know if you've got that star power that you're looking for to carry and build your whole company around.
He does for my demographic.
Fair, fair. Well, I'm going in a totally different route here a little bit. But again, I'm with you. I want my number one pick to be the guy that I'm going to probably put my title on at first. And I don't think that there's anybody more relevant right now and maybe even more over in professional. Well, I wouldn't say more over, but I think he's probably one of the best things going in professional wrestling right now. And he's still at that age where he's got a lot of good years left in him. And I'm going with the head of the table, Roman Reigns.
Wow.
I think that this
is not where I thought you were going to go, to be perfectly honest. I already thought you, I thought for sure that you were going to go Kenny Omega for your number one.
No, I don't think he's the guy that I want to build my company around. I think, wow, that, okay. I do, you know, if I were to go with Kenny Omega, who is definitely somebody that I do have my eyes on, and you could see him in my top 10, but people don't know Kenny Omega. You know what I mean?
So if you're building a company from the ground up, do you think Roman Reigns is the way to go?
I went with him. I was really going between him and Brock Lesnar in this role. I only wanted one of the two.
I gave thought to Brock.
I gave thought to Brock because he moves the needle and he brings people in. But I looked at Brock's age compared to Roman's age. And I looked at something that Roman does, and that's he's got, and he's always had this, whether it's been Roman sucks or let's go Roman. He's got something with the fans, that connection, whether he's loved or pushed down your throat and hated. So Roman Reigns is the guy that I want to be the face of my company. And he's going to give these younger guys the right matches to get them over as well.
Perfect. All right. Not where I thought you were going, but I'm not arguing with it either. My number two pick, like I said, AJ is my star power. AJ is my guy. AJ is my guy to get that first wave of people interested into the door. This guy's my next two, my number two, my number three, the guys that are going to keep you there. My number two pick is the current number one contender for the Impact World Champion.
Fucking bastard.
I'm going for the walking weapon, Josh Alexander.
He was my number two as well. And I was really hoping to get that first pick so I could scoop him. I knew he was going to be a guy that you and I would
I had to go early on him because I knew you'd want him to. So I went super early on him.
Yeah, no, and that's fair, and that's where I had him as my spot as well. He's definitely, you know, he's 35 years old. He's got some great in-ring future ahead of him.
Yeah,
and he's got something special about him. He's definitely somebody that I could see building your next generation around.
Exactly. He's my first main eventer. He's the guy that's going to be, challenging AJ for that title first. You know what I mean? Him and AJ are going to be the guys, and my number three are going to be the guys that are really going to be, this company's going to be built around them in the beginning.
Well, for my number two then, since you snagged my number two, I want to put heavy emphasis on another division, and that's the women's division. Okay. And I'm going with the man, Becky Lynch, actually, as my number two. Wow. I went back and forth between her and Charlotte, but from an all around package, I think Charlotte is the best wrestler, women's wrestler of all time. I don't think there's anybody better than Charlotte, but I've already got Roman, who is similar to Charlotte with that fan connection. Becky is the hero. People love Becky Lynch and they love to boo her right now, but Becky has that special connection also. So I think Becky is the person that I want to build my women's division around. And I think that I want to snag her up early before you can get your hands on it.
Again, you surprised me. It's one of those things where I'm surprised, but I'm also like, I get it 100%. I think I'm only surprised because I'm not surprised you had a woman so early in your pick. I'm actually not surprised at all by that. What I am surprised by is if it wasn't going to be Charlotte, I kind of thought you were going to go for either Deanna Purrazzo or Britt Baker.
I thought about, I didn't think about Deanna just because she is probably one of the best current wrestlers going right now, but I don't see her as the face of my company that I want to build around from the scratch up. I want her on my roster. And I want to work her up. You know what I mean? I want her to have matches against people like Natty in the mid card. So you can get her to that main event level and, you know, and then eventually put the belt on her. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So that's your number two. Wow. Good choice. Okay. Going to my number three, I'm staying on the same level as Josh, where I'm saying these are the guys that are going to be my, you know, my bread and butter in the beginning of this. And I've got a man with championship written all over him. I've got a man with just future and success written all over him. And he's a man who just announced this morning that he has put himself in contention for the ROH championship. And that's the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah, that's fair. I knew he was going to be on your list. I was kind of playing some mind games with you earlier.
You sure were.
I did not actually have him pegged as anything high on my list, at least. He would be somebody I would love to have on my roster, obviously. But no, I'm surprised that you took him this early. I'm not surprised that you took him this early because I know your love for him. But yeah, no, I can't argue the point. The guy's one of the best technical wrestlers in the world.
Just like ROH does, I see him as a main eventer. And I don't think any, unfortunately, I like if he went over anywhere else right now, including AEW, I don't think people would see him as that because of his size and everything like that. ROH, he sees something very special in him. And maybe because I'm such a fan of ROH, I see that too. Yeah. And I do see that main event status in him. And I would love to give him that ability to soar against guys like Josh Alexander and AJ Styles, because those, number one, would be some of the greatest wrestling matches on the fucking planet. And it would just be entertaining as fuck. So those guys aren't just great wrestlers. They're the package. All these guys are just the package. Yeah. They're great on the mic. They have got the charisma and, you know, I just like nobody can argue that I just picked three of the greatest professional wrestlers on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get that argument out of me.
Exactly.
Well, that's going to take me then to my next pick. And I'm going to kind of shuffle my order a little bit around on the fly here. And you want to talk about people with untapped or not even untapped potential, but the future of the business. It's time for me to get my youth movement going here. And I'm going to go with a guy that I think could be one of the greatest heels of all time when it's said and done. I'm going to go with MJF.
Wow. Okay. I did expect him on your list. I thought he'd be lower.
I just didn't know where your head's at on this one. You know what I mean? I didn't know where you felt about MJF, if he was somebody you might've had your radar on. So I'm going to jump him up a little bit. I think that you need somebody that people can hate. And this guy is 25 years old. I do think that he still does a little bit of like too indie type of promos. You know, he relies on a little bit of the too cheap heat, but he's 25. You know what I mean? Yeah,
he's got a long way to go. There's a lot of things he can still do.
You know what I mean? And especially the way that I'm going to shape my roster, you know, because I will have some veterans on that roster. It's kind of like how Chris Jericho has taken him under his wing in the real world. I would like to have that as well. But I look at this guy's age at 25 years old. And I'm saying dollar signs all over him if we can shape him a little bit. So I'm going with MJF. I want a heel. I want a top dog, you know. What a great mid-card heel to have on your stable right now.
I couldn't agree with you more. Bringing me to my number four, you want to talk about youth movement. So, like I said, this is how I'm building. My star, my current guys, and then my homegrown talent. The guys that you've never heard of before and that, but are going to be the biggest fucking name in 5 years of me making him a star. And this guy has potential up the fucking ass. When I say homegrown, I mean it, because he's as local as they come. I'm going to the free agent pile here because he's not signed by anybody. And I'm choosing Big Ben Ortman for my company.
Wow. I love this. I absolutely love this.
Big Ben, I think, put into the right hands creatively and in the right environment, has the potential to be one of the biggest stars in the fucking world.
Man, I don't disagree with you at all.
He's got the look. He's got the size. He could do both. I would bring him out as a huge baby face. But if he wants to be a heel, if you need a heel out of him, look at him. He looks like a monster. He could be that heel.
I love that pick. I love you hit the free agent market here. And that's something that I'm definitely be looking at a little bit more in part two of my list. You know what I mean? Part one, I want to hit my core a little bit more, and I want to keep my youth movement going right now. And my next pick is going to be a guy that I think is going to be one of the next AEW world champions. I'm going Hangman Page.
Okay.
Cowboy shit all day long, man. Another person that clicks with the crowd, right?
Yeah, I got you, man. I had him in my round two. Yeah, all right. I couldn't fit him in round one. I definitely had him in my round two. So obviously I don't get him now. And I knew there was a good chance that I wouldn't get him. It was hard to push him down.
The complete package, as far as I'm concerned.
I couldn't agree with you.
He's in his 20s still, or maybe early 30s, which is crazy. Yeah. He's high flying. He's got the look, the size, the microphone skills. This guy just screams superstar all over him, and he's believable. And man, when that music hits and he comes strutting out and the crowd's chanting cowboy shit like that, I want that atmosphere on my roster.
I know. So I'm switching things up. I'm switching my order up a little bit because you did something that made me really think. I only have, like, you went for MJF as your, you need that big heel. I don't have that big heel yet. And my biggest heel is my number 10 pick. I think I got to up him just in case. I don't know if you're going to pick him, but just in case, I got to up my big heel. So I'm going for my big heel now. And I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. But this guy is always ready, man. We're going Matt fucking Cardona.
Okay, Matt Cardona. His GCW work has really impressed you, eh?
He has impressed me so much in 2021. He proved that he's more than Zack Ryder. He's proved that he's more than what the Matt Cardona of Impact. He's not that goofy babyface. He's not just that internet champion. He could be a heat-seeking missile if you let him do it.
Well, my next pick is Roy Fox, so you can't have that match.
I can't even believe I even considered, let alone now picking him in my top five. But Matt Cardona has done everything right this year. And I truly think he's one of the biggest heels of 2021. Maybe second, like, I put him like behind maybe Roman. I don't think anybody's a bigger heel than Roman right now. Roman and Kenny maybe are like up there for heel wise, but Matt's not far behind, you know.
Yeah, his work's been great. I'm not a huge fan of Cardona, but I got to tip my cap to the guy. He's been fucking awesome.
100%. Yeah. He's the first guy I'm bringing in, not for his in-ring shit. I'm bringing him in basically because he is a goddamn heat-seeking missile.
Fair. Well, my next pick, I'm bringing in for their entrance music.
Damn it. Okay. My number, original number five was Jungle Boy.
I'm going with Jurassic Express.
And I switched Jungle Boy for Cardona. And I'm figuring, I knew you'd get Jungle Boy, but I figured maybe you'd push him down a bit and I could get him for my number six. Fuck.
I originally had Jurassic Express as my number seven, but, I'm moving stuff around a little bit on the fly here. I'm taking all three of them, buddy. I'm taking the whole group. I got
I told you.
Tag teams.
Tag teams, not stables.
They're a group. Marco's their manager, and Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy are a tag team, bro.
You fucking sneaky cunt.
I'm taking all of them.
That's bullshit. I wanted Marco so bad.
I'll trade you.
Ooh, I never thought of trades. We're going to have to talk about how trades work next week. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah. Maybe we wait till all three rounds are done and then do trades.
There you go. See, for me, Jurassic Express doesn't work without Marco coming out and waving his hands back and forth. I love what Marco brings to the table, man. I'm a fan of the guy. But Jungle Boy, let's talk. He's the real, you know, meat here, right? Jungle Boy is the guy that this guy is amazing. Like, and he's already amazing. He's like 22 years old. Got the best theme song, an over faction, super hot girlfriend. Like, if I could be anybody in the world right now, it's Jungle Boy, man. But on top of that, he's got this sympathetic white meat babyface vibe to him. I feel like I get like Ricky Morton selling vibe when I'm watching him work a match, like where people are invested and actually get behind him and care. And on top of that, I think I would start him out in my tag team division with Luchasaurus there.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start building my women's division. I might get some heat for this because she's kind of a controversial figure somewhat, but I just think I could really build a division around this woman. I'm taking Tessa Blanchard.
Oh, cancel culture, Mike. Boo.
reason being, if I did, number one, she's talented as fuck. She's a draw. She could easily lead the women's division. But if I did decide to do intergender wrestling in my company, we already know she can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Great. You know, pick. So I think she's the smartest pick to start the division.
I can't argue that one. You know, obviously she's got her controversy, like you said. I don't know anything about it. I don't know her. I don't know what's
happening. I mean, even if it wasn't for the alleged racism, it's the fact that the way she quit on Impact while holding the title.
Yeah.
That's not a good look on somebody when you're looking at hiring them.
Yeah.
So even that is controversial of me being like, oh, I'd hire her. But it is what it is, man. If I'm going to grab pure talent, I think Tessa's the way to go.
Fair. Absolutely.
Plus, I was there the night she fought Gail Kim in Toronto.
Oh, I wish I could have been that.
Fuck, man. She can go.
Yeah, absolutely she can. So what number is that then? Because my numbers are all jumbled up. That was number six?
Yeah, that was number
six. I'm on my number six pick right now?
Yeah.
Okay, time to go. Yeah, I think it's time. I'm going to go with Kenny Omega now. He was my original number four, but I knew I could let him slide because you hate Kenny Omega, as we've said on the show.
I should have grabbed him just to piss you off.
Yeah, he is my original number four, but I'm kind of playing a little bit politicky against you here now, and I knew I could let him drop down more because I didn't think he was going to be on your immediate radar. But, you know, you got Roman Reigns as one of my lead guys here. Kenny Omega, you know, love him or hate him, you cannot take away his in-ring work, and it's time to get to...
Do you spend the extra money and take Don with him?
Take who?
Gallus.
Oh, 100,000%.
Yeah.
I was originally going to try to be really sneaky and but it was too much cheating and say the Golden Lovers, and so I could get a Bushi.
No.
But I knew I couldn't
get away with that. I mean that would have worked fucking 5 years ago.
Yeah, but... I knew I couldn't get away with that one, so I did not go for that route.
That's funny.
But yeah, Kenny Omega, come on. What do you need to say about the guy? The guy's going to be my workhorse 1,000%. I'm going to probably build all of my in-ring work around him. Him and Roman. I would make Kenny a babyface. I would probably have him and Roman as one of my immediate feuds right away.
Right.
Have to do it, right?
I'm going to start building my my tag division. And I'm going to bring in... Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa,
okay. The
Gorillas of Destiny.
I had a feeling that that I would be seeing these guys on your draft.
It's a sneaky pick because they are a phenomenal tag team, but they're both also phenomenal singles workers. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting two for the price of one here.
Fair, absolutely, you know? Fair.
And I don't have a whole lot of heels on my list. You want to see straight heel heat, man? Tama Tonga is a fucking phenomenal heel. I don't know if you're paying attention to stuff he's doing right now. It looks like he's finally taken over as the leader of the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah. Him and Jay White are... I think Jay White's the leader, but I don't know what they're doing right
now. Oh, no. They're doing something where he basically called out Jay on Twitter and said, looks like this shit is fucking mine.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah. You know, he called out Jay. Yeah. It's a cool story.
I like that. I like that.
I think we're going to see Tama Tonga in Impact sooner than later.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for everyone to watch Mike's heart get shattered into a million pieces. Because I'm going for them boys, Mark and Jay
Briscoe. Fuck you! They were my next pick.
Mark and Jay.
Wow. Briscoe. Oh, and I fought with myself whether not to take the Briscoes or the GOD first. It didn't matter. I could have took either one. I never in 1,000 years thought you would take the Briscoes.
this one is kind of me booking on the fly. They weren't on my original 10.
Doing this to hurt me.
Well, you made a lot of great points about how the Gorillas of Destiny are fantastic singles and wrestlers,
I was going to make the same point about the Briscoes.
But on top of that, though, I would change them up a little bit, though, and I would throw back to their 2006 look. I want the shaved heads back. I don't want the chicken, kung fu chicken. I want the Killers back. I want them boys. I want
It's your promotion. Yeah.
I want Leonard Skinner. Give me back them bullets. Another song.
You can't afford that. Well, you can't afford that.
I don't have Tony Khan money. Shit. I got to drop Jurassic Express then too.
You barely have Rob Feinstein money.
Oh, diddle boy. now I've got Jurassic Express as a tag team. I've got the Briscoes in there as well. Since you took Josh Alexander, someone who I really wanted, I want to hurt you back, Mike. So I'm taking the Briscoes. All right.
So that was your number 7, right?
Yeah.
Which makes me, I'm on my 8.
I think, I don't know. My numbers are all jumbled up because you.
No, I'm on my number 8. And I'm going to do something a little different. I want to create a different division in my league.
Okay.
Imagine the X division meets the hardcore division.
Okay.
All right. A little something different, you know? And I need a face for this, and I don't want to go in. I know everybody's going, okay, when's he going to bring Engage? I don't want to go that obvious with the deathmatch stuff. If I'm going to bring in deathmatch wrestlers, I want a guy who can come in, lead this, be the face of this division, with a character. I want a real character. I know you are not exactly familiar with this guy, but he is known all over the world in death matches, especially in GCW and formerly of Blackcraft Wrestling. I'm going to bring in G Raver.
Okay.
He's just got this gimmick, this image, this character that is just so unique and so crazy and so weird. I think he'd just be a very, very cool counteract to my AJ Styles and Jonathan Gresham's. You know what I mean? I truly believe in the idea that when you're running a promotion, you should have something for everybody. And this is for that other crowd.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay. I don't know much about him, so I can't really comment on it.
Yeah.
My next pick, I'm gonna kind of bump him up a little bit to where I originally had him as well. You know, you said you wanted like kind of some big boys a little bit earlier on, and I'm going with one of the baddest guys walking the planet right now. I'm taking Walter.
Okay. All right.
This guy just screams money to me, man. He's got the look. And you know, with Walter, does that mean I don't get Imperial though, right? I just get Walter, right? No factions. Yeah. Is that what you said?
No factions.
Okay, yeah. So whatever. I'll take Walter on his own. I couldn't even tell you who's in Imperial. I just want to steal another tag team because I love tag team wrestling. But
yeah, as you say, just because you took Roman doesn't mean you get the fucking Usos, asshole.
Come on, take the whole bloodline. So okay, yeah, that's right. But yeah, I want Walter. I think that this is another guy that just screams main eventer.
You know what I do? Would you keep him, like, what would you run him as? Would you have him heel, face? What would
heel,
you do?
I would total heel.
Okay. All right. You know what I do? Since you already drafted Roman, right?
Yeah.
Which means technically you already have Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I put Paul with Walter.
I think that's a genius idea.
Right?
Yeah. You put the right mouthpiece. He would be my new Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? With Heyman?
Yeah.
He would be that guy. I would have Heyman. I wouldn't have Walter say a word. And the first thing that I would do with Walter is I would put him against an enhancement talent, and I would just have him hit one of those big chops. He's over immediately. That's what they did in NXT UK with him.
No, what you do is you draft Travis Moore.
Yeah. Have Walter launch him around.
Yeah.
I'll have to fill Marco Stunt in my Travis Moore.
He could do that with Marco Stunt for sure.
But I need Walter on my roster. And the guy's a workhorse too. So, and he's something different. Sense. You know, you said something for everybody. Walter, something different.
100%. So I'm dipping him to my pool for next week now. This guy wasn't in my top 10, but I'm bringing him up to the big times. I need a guy that could just do what I need him to do. If I want him to go against AJ Styles and have a good match, he can. If I want him to go against G Raver and have a brutal, disgusting match, he can. If I want him to job to Tessa Blanchard and make it look good, he can. This guy is the full package and he's tough as nails. I'm bringing in Jeff Cobb.
Okay. Well, you gave me a little scare there. I thought you were going to steal my next pick.
Oh, wow.
It's like, fine. You're describing everything my next pick is.
Jeff Cobb is just, he's one of the toughest men in the world. I was a big fan of him in Lucha Underground, even though he's under a mask the whole time. He was just a monster over there. Love his stuff that he did in Japan and all over the place. Ring of Honor, of course. I love playing him on Retromania. I don't think he gets enough credit for being as good as he is.
He might be one of the most underrated wrestlers going right now.
For sure. So I would bring him in and really showcase him.
Fair. I like that. Well, everything you just said about Jeff Cobb, I am going with my next pick/tag team. And I am going with the Wild Thing, John Moxley and Eddie Kingston.
There goes my number 10.
Man, Moxley is something special. Do you have Moxley as your 10?
Yeah.
Moxley is something special.
I wouldn't have brought Kingston. And hey man,
he's just a free body, you know what I mean?
I think you're cheating because I consider them as two guys teaming right now. I don't consider them as a team.
They had a tag title match a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, still I don't count.
I don't need them. If you want me to
Kingston
out,
I really don't give a fuck.
He's just a free body along for the ride for me. I'm not a big Kingston guy, but I like his promo stuff. Yeah, I didn't think he'd be on your radar, but it's another tag team for me. So now I have three tag teams, but Moxley again. You need someone. He's got the history with Roman Reigns, so I have that tie-in right there. But you need him to fight a woman, he can fight a woman. You need him to be hardcore, he can be hardcore. You want him to have a wrestling match, he can do that. Moxley, and he's got that. I don't want to compare him to Stone Cold Steve Austin because nobody will ever be Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he's got that rebellious vibes that you got off of a guy like Austin. You could really, you really take the handcuffs off him and let him go and he can do some special stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, which is why I was going to draft him. Obviously, I'm not now. My last pick, my number 10, is again...
Are we on 10 already?
Should be.
I thought we were 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, this. Oh, yeah, you're right. Holy shit, time flies when you're having fun.
So my number 10... Again, he's one of those guys who could do anything. He can do the main event with AJ. He could have phenomenal matches with Gresham. He could have the intergender matches and he can have the death matches. He can do it all. But the one thing that he has that Jeff Cobb unfortunately doesn't, he already has the star power too. I would put him close to AJ with star power. I'm going with Prince Devitt, Finn Balor.
I really went back and forth with him in my top 10 and he would probably have been in my top pick in the next round, but I couldn't put him on today. And I think my number 10, who originally was my number 8, but again, I'm kind of playing politics a little bit here and thinking I can let these guys drop a little bit because of your lack of interest in them.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a guy to have on your roster. He's awesome.
Exactly. He's been money everywhere he goes. I loved him. Of course, everybody knows I was a big fan of ICW back in the day. So his stuff in ICW was amazing. Obviously his stuff in Japan is legendary. And say what you want about WWE, he was phenomenal in NXT, and he did some decent stuff on the main roster. He's one of the biggest stars in the world, as far as I'm concerned, and I would make him one of my stars.
Fair. My number 10, I believe, is everything that Balor is, except a bigger star.
Okay.
And I want a player coach on my team as well. And I'm bringing the Yes
Movement. Are you bringing him? Okay. When you said player coach, I thought that was a tease at Punk because of Punk's Twitter handle.
I wanted Punk on my top 10, but I almost took Walter off to put Punk on just because of the eyes that he would bring to the product. You know, Punk mm-hmm. is that guy, but I need American Dragon Brian Danielson on my roster. The point to have Hangman Page, Jungle Boy, MJF if you don't have somebody that's going to make them better in the ring? And there's nobody better than the American
Agreed.
Dragon.
And that's why I have AJ and Devitt.
Yeah.
Those are my guys that are going to make my other guys better.
The main reason why I wanted Dragon on my roster, though, is because, and not to take away from anybody else that we drafted, but when you think of people that just love professional wrestling, like, his name has to come at the top of your list.
At the
he
top.
Just love, he loves giving to the business. He loves being out there. He loves teaching. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's got that special bond with the fans. You know what I mean? He's a one in a million in the last 20 years, 30 years of Couldn't this agree business. More.
Yep.
And I need him on my roster.
Any company would be lucky to have him.
Right. And we've already seen the great matches he already can have with Roman, with Kenny Omega. Imagine we could do in there with Walter, you know, put him in there with Moxley again, with Jungle Boy, with Hangman. Like, sign me up all day. I'm going to get 5 good years out of him and to teach my guys how to be main event players for the next 20.
That's smart booking, man. Gotcha.
That's our list.
All right. So that's round one, man.
So as you guys will be able to see, by Mike can't see this because I haven't edited yet, but all Mike's picks are on the top, all my picks are on the bottom right now. Take a look at them and let us know who you think has built the better first half of the roster. So
that's fantastic. So that means you actually have to watch the show back.
I hate when I have to watch the show back. I'm going to try to do that. For all I know, maybe I just didn't have time and that never happened. Uh-oh. In which case...
I'll text you my list.
Yes, so you will text me your list. Otherwise, I'm just going to put my picks up and cheat.
that was fun, man. I can't wait to do this for a couple more weeks. I like stuff like this.
I like doing these little hypotheticals and fun stuff. I don't want to talk about wrestling news anymore. I don't give a shit about it. It's not our forte. It's not something we need to do. We're not journalists. We're not. You know what I mean? We're a couple guys that love
wrestling.
We're here
to have fun.
Let's get in the list, man. What do you think?
Man, I cannot wait to talk about some loose cannon.
Brian Pillman, baby, the loose cannon. I love Brian Pillman. I'm going to tell you guys.
As a teenager, he was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I only cried due to 3 wrestling deaths ever. And that was Owen, that was Benoit, and that was Pillman. Pillman, mostly because it just came out of fucking left field, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it really. Didn't see it coming.
For me, I've got a little special story. I don't know if I've told this on air or not, but I am a diehard Cincinnati Bengals football fan. They're my favorite football team. As you heard Jonah Williams at the beginning of the show welcome us into the show. It's a great cameo that you got me for my birthday, Mike. But the reason why I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan is actually because of Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman used to be a Cincinnati Bengal. He was a walk-on. He made the squad. Before he went to Calgary to play for the Stampeders. But I was at a house show in 1997 at the Sky Dome. And I was in grade 7 at the time. So what am I, 13, 14 years old, give or take, right? And my seats where I was sitting, it was just open. Like, I could see backstage. I could poke my head down and see what is now known as the gorilla position. Because it was just a house show, right? They didn't give a shit. Yeah, and Brian Pillman was sitting there by himself. Nobody around him, peeking through the curtains. He was watching Owen Hart's match. He was getting ready to do a run-in. And I was just losing my mind. Brian Pillman, hey, Pillman, look at me. What's up? You know, and he was just laser focused. And I know he could hear me, but he couldn't hear me. He was in the zone, right? And all of a sudden, this guy beside me looks up and goes, call him a Cincinnati Bengal. I don't know what the hell that is. I don't watch football at this time. So I'm like, hey, Pillman, you Cincinnati Bengal. And he looked up and he gave me the old wink and smile wave and nod. And,
that's funny.
And so, you know, about 5 years later, I really got into football and I was like, well, this is my team. So Brian Pillman, thank you for years of heartbreak for being a Bengal that I've had to go through. God damn it.
Well, and I've decided by default, when I finally understand the game of football, because of you and because of Brian Pillman, I will be a Cincinnati Bengal fan.
Well, you are wearing because an Ottawa like Senator we have a hat, so you're already set up for this appointment. You're
exactly. Ready. You're ready. I already know what heartbreak feels like. Yeah. I'm right there.
Although we got a great offense right now. Joe Burrow's got the boys firing, but that's a different podcast. That's the E8 podcast with Steve. We don't do sports here. We do wrestling, and let's get right into my number 7. And I'm going I'm going huge right off the get-go. And I'm going with his run in the Hart Foundation.
His whole run.
Everything about the Hart, him being in the Hart Foundation.
And that's your 7.
That's my number 7.
That sets a fucking bar for your list. You realize this?
Yes. I'm being very vague in his Hart Foundation. It's just more of him being a part of the faction. He's gone on record.
But as far as WWE goes, because his WWE stint was very short, unfortunately.
Yes.
But that's what he's most known for. That's what he's most remembered for. Your number 7. So yes. that sets a precedent here.
Okay. Well, the reason why it is my number 7 is just because his role in the Hart Foundation wasn't humongous and because it was short.
But it was important.
It was very important. Honestly, this would be my number 1. I love the Hart Foundation. They're my favorite wrestling faction of all time, even next to the Four Horsemen. I just, you know, Canada pride, let's go Canada. But Brian Pillman's gone on record many times to say that this was probably career highlights for him. That match at Canadian Stampede, I know for a fact was, I think his career highlight. He said he was trained in the dungeon with Stu. He fit like a glove with those guys. If you go back into the archives of Classic Match Classroom, Anthony and I do a whole breakdown of Bret Hart versus Austin. And he was such a huge part of that buildup. Kind of fanboying for Bret, pissing off Austin.
And he wrestled for Stu and Stampede for a while, didn't he?
He was tag team with Bruce Hart. It is one of my honorable mentions. They were many time tag team champions there. Just the importance of him being in such a historic faction. I wanted to tip my cap to it. I know it's not a big, like if you're like singling out Brian Pillman, like you don't, you know, that's not him like being a star and being a focal point, but it's important.
It's very important. I have gone on record several times and people give me shit for this and I don't care. The only member of that faction, the Hart Foundation, that you could erase and nobody would give a fuck is Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah.
He did nothing in that faction.
Yeah.
The other four guys all played extremely important roles, including and especially Brian Pillman.
Absolutely.
And especially he was the only one who wasn't family. So, you know, it's like that. It's like an old joke that I think Chris Rock tells, where he'll make that joke where he says, when you see a group of bad black kids with one white kid, who's the most dangerous one? The white kid, because you don't know what he did to get into that group. You know what I mean? That's Brian Pillman with the Hart Foundation.
Well, he was the last person trained by Stu as well.
On paper, he didn't belong. He must have done something really big to impress all the Harts to become pretty much an honorary Hart.
Ryan, I hear you're a hell of a football player. Do you mind if I show you some of our more basic maneuvers?
Stu probably stretches shit out of Brian.
Oh, I bet you.
My number 6, I'm going to stick in the same time period here. I'm going to get a little bit more specific on my number 6. And that is his feud with Goldust.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect position. This could have been your number 7. But yeah, 6-7. Perfect position for this. Only because it was cut so short.
Yeah. We didn't get the finish to it, unfortunately.
We didn't get the finish. But even watching it back, it's very uncomfortable because of how real it was.
Well, yeah,
because
he dated Terry, right?
Everybody, like you, if you watch that Brian Pillman DVD, Loose Cannon, and you see the interviews with Dustin, flat out says he did not want to do this angle. He did not like this angle. There was nothing, you know, even with Brian gone, Dustin couldn't bring himself to say nice things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was an uncomfortable fucking angle, which is why it fucking worked.
Yeah, let's talk about it, man. They fought at SummerSlam, and if Pillman lost, he would have to wear a dress, which was so entertaining. He was so fun doing this stuff. They have the rematch at the Ground Zero pay-per-view where if Pillman wins, he gets Terry.
Now can we – you missed a spot here because he lost that match.
Yes.
Right? So he has to wear the dress. This is supposed to be a punishment. Pillman plays it so well, he ends up enjoying wearing the dress.
No, you're mixing that up. He hated it.
Am I?
Yeah, you're mixing it up with Vito and Perry Saturn. Perry Saturn was the one I think that, but Pillman, okay. Pillman would come out all pissed off every week and furious about it. But at the next pay-per-view, he ends up beating Goldust, hitting with a loaded purse with a brick in it, and he gets Terry, and he kidnaps Terry, and then we get the Triple X Files, which are so uncomfortable to go back and watch maybe a little bit, but they were so entertaining.
I think it's very easy to say that that doesn't happen in 2021.
No, it does not. But in 1997, it was all fair games, and WWF was pushing the envelope, and you know Pillman was forcing Terry against her will, dragging her down the ring, making her dress more provocative, putting a nose ring in her, sending they say videos after they had allegedly slept together.
Yeah. Now, the rumor has it that the original booking had Pillman not unfortunately pass away was Terry was going to turn heel
and stay with
Pillman.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've heard as well.
This story has been told 1,000 times. You know, who was it? Flair and Garvin, was it?
Flair and Garvin did a similar thing where Flair and Garvin was going to be with Precious.
Yeah, and then Flair and Savage. You know, this story. You know, there's a lot of these stories where if I win, I get your valet. But this was told so much more edgy, and they brought in real life because Marlena is actually Terry Runnels. And Terry Runnels is the real life wife of Dustin Runnels, who is Goldust. Uh-huh. And not only is she the real life wife of Dustin Runnels, she's the real life ex-girlfriend of Brian Pillman.
The chemistry was great. They had good matches too.
Yeah, they really did. They really did. Those two could really work together, even if they didn't like each other.
Well, my number five, we're gonna flip over to WCW now. I Respect You, Booker Man.
Wow.
As my number five.
Holy fuck, you. I won't lie. I thought this was in your top two. This is one of the biggest moments of his career. This is what solidified the loose cannon. This is what put him on the fucking map, put him on people's radars.
Well, this was his last appearance in WCW.
Right. This is what got people fired. This is what got people talking about him. I don't think Vince would have gave a fuck about him if this didn't happen.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit. He's even leading up to this match, he's in a match with Kevin Sullivan, but he'd been doing his crazy stuff. You know, Arn Anderson and promos would be like, "I'm worried about you." Like, what are you? And even Arn Anderson was showing a little bit of fear, not fear, but like concern and nervousness to be around Pillman at this time. He at the WCW Clash of the Champions pay-per-view, he's fighting Eddie Guerrero. He grabbed Bobby Heenan by the back and what the fuck are you doing?
I didn't want to bring that up because I didn't know if it was going to be an item on your list or not.
No, it's not on my list.
But you're right. And these are things where, you know, he's just going off script and he's going, you know, doing things that, you know, you're not supposed to do. Everybody and their dog's grandma knew that you don't touch Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
It's known. So when that happened and Bobby dropped an F-bomb on national television, it's like, okay, what the fuck is Brian doing?
Yeah. And I love Bobby. Like Bobby took a walk. You could tell he's pissed. And then he sat down again and Tony's like, "You okay, Bobby?" He's like, "Oh, I love Pillman." Like, he immediately was like, "Yeah, I hope he wins." Like Bobby's such a professional, but yeah, he was pissed about that. Then you get into this match. It's supposed to be a strap match. Brian Pillman against Kevin Sullivan at Super Brawl 1996. Pillman comes running out, holding the strap, basically walks out, just starts whipping the shit out of Sullivan with it, very stiff. Sullivan gets the strap back. It's supposed to be an I Quit match. As soon as Sullivan swings the strap once, Pillman grabs the microphone aggressively from the referee, just looks at Sullivan, goes, I respect you, Booker, man, and throws the mic down and leaves. And obviously, Kevin Sullivan was the booker at the time of WCW.
And this is 1996. This is not, you know, the internet is an infant at this point in time. You don't know this shit. If you're sitting in that crowd, if you're watching this on TV, 90% of people watching have no idea what the fuck a Booker man is. This is like he's pulling the sheet back and pulling the curtain back on and exposing the company, exposing the business, as Cornette would probably say, in a time where you did not fucking do that. Which just led more to people believing, okay, Pillman's fucking lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, this would lead to him convincing Eric Bischoff to actually release him, to make this angle more believable.
He took this character that only Bischoff really was privy to, him and a couple other guys, probably Sullivan and a few other guys, and he made it real. Because he convinced, so fucking strange, man. Well, he convinced everybody that he was shooting when he was working.
Yeah.
And then he convinced Bischoff that he was working when he was shooting.
Yeah.
Pillman may have been the smartest motherfucker on the planet at this point in time.
He really was. That car accident really fucked things up for him, because I think he could have exploded. Really did. But him getting released from WCW, it leads to my number four.
His debut in ECW?
His debut in ECW.
One of my favorite, and I think this was on high on my list when we did top debuts.
I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite debuts of all time.
I think this is the best promo that he's ever cut.
It's fantastic.
It's so good. Just right from the beginning, though, when he's the lights come up and he's got the iconic pose, cane in the air. Stand there. The crowd was losing their mind. That one guy in the crowd's got the sign that says "Don't work me, Pillman," which I thought I like that. But you know, he cuts this crazy promo with Joey Styles. By the end of it, you know, he tries to whip his dick out and piss in the ring, which was hilarious. The only thing I didn't like about this, though, was when Shane Douglas came out, and he was so kind of cheesy, being like, he's shooting, Paul. It's like, come on.
Geez, yeah.
I thought that was a little bit thing. But, you know, he did a lot of cool stuff in ECW, too, like when he was wrestling the giant pencil. Like, Pillman didn't just have one appearance. Like, he was in ECW a handful of times.
You know, he was, I mean, he wasn't as physically active as Austin in Austin's short period, but he did the same as Austin did. That was a transition period, the same as Austin's was.
Had Pillman, you know, not gotten his car accident, it looked like they were building to him and Shane Douglas for a match.
Yeah, right.
Right? And they have a history, which will...
But he had already gotten in the car accident before the debut.
No.
So why do you have the cane? Why do you have the cane then?
To look cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the cane was just part of the look, like, but because he was walking around fine, because he did other ECW appearances in a wheelchair after the car accident.
Right.
But yeah, the car accident really fucked him up. He was out for a while.
Yeah.
So that's going to go to number three then.
Pillman. I would probably put Pillman right behind Magnum as guys who should have been 10,000 times bigger than they were if it wasn't for fate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I agree, man. Pillman, what could
because it wasn't Pillman? It wasn't booking that held these guys back. It wasn't it wasn't a promoter. It wasn't the fans. It was fate.
Well, Pillman signed with the WWF at the end of May, early June. I think it was early June '96.
That's right, because he already signed his contract before he got in the accident. You're right.
Could you imagine Brian Pillman versus Shawn Michaels in 1996? Right. Those guys could have main evented SummerSlam that year. Those guys could have main evented and In Your House. Those guys, whatever. I don't care what they main evented. Those guys would have tore the house down.
But can we still give it up to Vince McMahon? At least 1996 Vince McMahon, who I think was a more sounded and more, you know, normal human being than he is now. I think so. Can we give it up to him for taking a guy? He sized a guy. The guy gets in a near-death fucking car accident. Vince easily could have said, all right, man, sorry, we're just not going to be able to use you. Here's some money, but sorry, take care.
Yeah.
I think a lot of promoters would have done that.
I'm not pretty only, sure though that he was signed to a guaranteed contract. I think he was one of the first guys.
Not only does he not fucking say sorry, dude, bye, he brings him in and he still uses him.
Yeah. Oh, that's great promo at King of the Ring.
You know, like you got to tip your hat to you know. There's not a whole lot people want to tip their hat to Vince, but I got to give it to him on that one.
There's a lot you should tip your hat to Vince. He pays.
Goddamn right. I'm just saying
he paid for people like Vince. Vince gets a bad rep. Sometimes he deserves a bad rep, but not all the time.
All right, man, that's a good one.
Number three, go ahead. Pillman's got a gun.
Okay. All right. Man, you're number two and one. Gotta be crazy.
They're good. This one's awesome. This is probably the most famous Brian.
So I thought Bookerman was gonna be two, and I thought this was gonna be one. So
this
is one of my favorite promos ever.
Yeah, this has to be, and we detailed that on Cosmic Classroom as well. But this has to be Pillman's most famous moment, right?
That line, man, when Austin 316 meets Pillman, what was it?
Nine millimeter.
Like, fuck, and he pulls that gun out, and you didn't think he was gonna pull a fucking gun out. And he pulls that gun out and he cocks it right on there. The motherfucker cocked a fucking gun on live air.
That's right.
And I have no doubt that it was live, like that it was a fucking actual loaded gun. When the camera goes off, I don't think they wanted to show them shoot a gun, but I think that gunshot, I think that was actually filming.
I have no idea.
I bet you anything it was.
All I know is they didn't smarten up Pillman Jr., who was upstairs during this whole time. I don't know if you heard that on Dark Side of the Ring extras.
No, I didn't. But
Pillman Jr. Like, was a kid. When this
happened. Yeah, but like a really motherfucking young kid.
He was like seven.
Oh, I thought he'd be younger than that. Okay.
But he was crying and stuff because, you know, it must have been scary as hell for someone. And
of course.
No one told him about it. I think a producer went upstairs and sat with
him. And even his mom was down in the fucking segment. She could have been up there with him instead.
100%, right?
Oh, Bethany.
You got Bethany. Austin. To set, oh, that was the best MJF line of all time, for sure. Austin breaks Pillman's ankle to lead up to this with the famous Pillmanizer.
The fact that 20 some years later, and I still call that the Pillmanizer.
Yeah,
when I see somebody put a fucking chair on an ankle, he's gonna Pillmanize them.
Yeah,
that's my go-to every single time.
Yeah,
I love that. It was a great way to sell a real life injury. It was a good way to get heat on Steve Austin. It was great. I love everything about that angle.
Yeah, and you know, Austin shows up at his house and just beats the shit out of these poor guys out front. Like, he stiffed the hell out of these guys. You know, he breaks in. Storms into the basement, which, by the way, they never cleaned up the glass. The next morning, Pillman Jr. said he walked downstairs, just broken glass everywhere. Pillman points the gun at him. The camera feed cuts out. Kevin Kelly is screaming in the background. He was great. He was great during all this.
He was great.
And then they closed out. Austin comes back in again later in the show, and Pillman's trying to point the gun at him, and everyone's pulling Austin back as they go off the air. Gotten a shitload of trouble from the USA Network.
Yep. Yeah, and it worked on every level because it didn't make Austin look like a pussy. Like, Austin never once got, oh, fuck, he's got a gun and, you know, stick his dick between his legs. But it didn't make Pillman, it just made Pillman look crazy, you know, which is what they wanted from that character anyways. It worked on so many fucking levels.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's something you can only get away with in 1996, 1997. Absolutely. Like, holy fuck.
Well, that's my list so far. We got the top two left. I feel like you're going to be let down by my top two now, since I already said you're one and two, but I think
we'll see. Maybe I'm forgetting about a couple things, but so let's go for it, man.
Well, my number two is his tag team with Steve Austin, the Hollywood Blondes.
Okay. I would have put this as my number three, probably.
Yeah.
Number four, number three, but okay.
I think these guys are the most, one of the most underrated tag teams of all time. They got the wings cut off of them way too soon.
Yeah.
They had a classic feud and series of matches with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Shane yes. Douglas. Fantastic yes. matches these guys had. They ended up winning the belts from them, held the tag titles for 169 days. So a respectable title run. They had a great feud with Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, where they would do a Flair for the old instead of a Flair for the gold.
So funny.
Pillman really got so this is where funny. Pillman really got to showcase his personality. You yeah. know what I mean? This was actually Ric Flair's first match back from his return to WCW also, while he was waiting out his no compete. You know, they got broken up way too soon.
While Ole was telling him that he was fucking done because he lost to Kurt Hennig on national television.
Yeah, yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah,
fucking yeah. Ole. But yeah, I just, you know, and to this day, you can tell how special his team was to Steve Austin. He still wears the chain.
He still wears the chain. Yeah.
But this was kind of Steve Austin's coming out party, too. I thought that this really helped let Austin let loose as a heel, you know, and instead of just kind of being floundering around a stunning Steve with long hair and a robe and, you know, kind of a Ric Flair knockoff, in all honesty. Yep. This was him getting a little bit edgier. I love their little
I love camera movie
thing. They had great music. Their look was fantastic. I really love the Hollywood Blondes.
I love hearing him talk about it too, because you always talk about how when he found out he was teaming with Brian, he was pissed.
He's
pissed. Yeah. And then when he found out they were breaking him up, he was even more pissed.
Yeah. And they broke him up and they did nothing. They had one little Clash of the Champions match. Like, that was 8 minutes. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible WCW. But something WCW did right was my number one.
Okay.
I'm taking us back to Super Brawl 2, Brian Pillman versus Jushin Thunder Liger.
Okay. All right. Again, not my number one, but it's got to be on your list. It's got to be high on your list, too.
Yeah. This is his most famous match. And it's in my opinion, it's in the top three of greatest opening matches in pay-per-view history.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, Bret Owen, Angle, Rey Mysterio, and I put this one right here with it. These guys brought the best out of each other.
They really did, yeah.
You know, they would tag team together. They would feud against each other. This match it's all action. It's every way you'd want to kick off a pay-per-view. This happened in, I believe, 1992, and the fact that it's still held so highly and so respected all these years later, you got to tip your cap to it. And it really showcases the flyingness of Flying Brian.
I'm going to go ahead and say this might be, and this is saying something, this is a very bold statement, this might be Liger's best match on American soil.
I think so. You know, without a doubt.
And I'm saying that because we know what he's done in Japan. But as far as his stuff, the majority of his stuff in the United States was done in WCW. So you look at this, and yes, he did some great stuff with Ray. Goddamn, he did some great stuff with Ray.
Yeah,
you know, and he did great stuff all over the cruiserweight division. But his match with Pillman, I don't think he ever had an opponent in North America that can match what they did.
Well, and to show you how highly respected people thought of their work, what was the very first match in the history of WCW Monday Nitro?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Brian Pillman versus Jushin Thunder Liger from the Mall of America. I forgot about that. Right?
Yeah.
These guys are, it's everything you want between guys. And I really wanted to let my number one not just be his personality, which everybody remembers, but I want people to remember this guy was a hell of a fucking hand in the ring. And you know, that's my Pillman list. And, you know, he's wearing the Bengals tights, so that makes me happy too, because I love those Bengals tights. But that's my Pillman list. I pretty much had it down pretty easy, I think. There wasn't a whole lot of other stuff I think I left off this one, but maybe you can correct me there. Anything that you can think of off the top of your head?
My first thing that I think of is his work on Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yeah, one of my other mentions.
I love the stuff he did on Shotgun Saturday Night, because they had nothing really left for him to do at the moment. And they were trying to get this new edgy program off the ground. You know, they're doing it in a fucking subway system. They're doing it, you know, in nightclubs. This is really Pillman's kind of thing, because Pillman, that's Pillman. When you think of that night crowd, the, you know, because didn't the show come on at like midnight? For the first while, anyways, it was meant for that like young, like night crowd, you know. So Pillman was the perfect person to put into this fucking role, yeah, as the face for it, you know. That's the first thing I think of.
Yeah, I thought about that one. It wasn't going to make my list. A couple matches that I really wanted to put on there, but I just couldn't. His match versus Johnny B. Badd at Fall Brawl 95.
I have a special place in my heart for that.
It's so good as well. His match against Lex Luger at Halloween Havoc 89 was really good.
Right.
We mentioned his tag team with Bruce Hart. The promo he cut in his WWF press conference. Do you remember this at all when he was announcing his signing? And they had
like, say that again?
His press conference, the WWF, when they announced his
signing. Oh, yes.
And he cut this very tearful promo, and then all of a sudden just snapped and went loose cannon. I thought was really good. His run with the Four Horsemen is my last honorable mention as well. I really enjoyed his work in the Four Horsemen. One of my favorite horsemen groups of all time, Pillman, Benoit, Flair, and Anderson.
The only feud you're missing out on that maybe I'm in a small group of people who enjoyed this, but if correct me if I'm wrong, I remember him having a really good feud with Barry Windham in WCW.
The Yellow Dog, yes.
Yeah. Right. Yes. I did. They did some fun stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't they have a loser leave town match?
Yeah. And Pillman lost. And then he did the old Dusty Midnight Rider gimmick. And right, it's actually an even bigger throwback, because in the 80s, Barry Windham did the same thing. And he did be the Yellow Dog. Right. So it was a fun little throwback. Yeah. I did enjoy that. And of course, a dishonorable mention would be when Sid dropped them on his head at War Games. It's another famous Pillman moment.
Yeah.
That's my Brian Pillman list, though, man.
All right, man. I can't argue with you.
Maybe you change my order.
I'd be willing to keep the majority of your stuff and just kind of. I personally would switch the order, but you have the meat and potatoes in there. Like, yeah, you have the important stuff.
Maybe I would move Pillman's Got a Gun to number two and bump the Hollywood Blondes up to number three. I think I might do that, but. You know, I just thought, I know that's one of his favorite time periods in his career as well. And I took that into consideration as well.
Of course.
And of course, friend of the show, Rory Fox, did work the Brian Pillman Memorial shows. So,
Attaboy Rory. All right. Good list. I enjoyed it this week.
So what are we doing next week?
Well, I got two things. Well, let's plug the show next week. Let's start with that. It's my turn next week. You and I were talking a lot about feuds lately, and I've been working on a list that I'm going to bring out in a few weeks. And that list is going to be the greatest singles feud of all time. It's going to take me a few weeks to do this one. Like, this is a big one, but I am going to leave a major, a feud off that list, because I have said because it's not going to surprise anybody. I've said on this show 2001 times that the greatest feud of all time, the greatest story ever told in professional wrestling, as far as I'm concerned, is Austin versus McMahon. So I'm leaving that off my list because it's an obvious number one. So instead, while I get ready for that big feud list next week, I'm going to honor the number one by doing the top seven moments of Austin versus McMahon.
I can't wait. That's going to be so fun. Such a fun time in professional wrestling.
But before then, there's something I wanted to talk about at the top of the show, but I forgot. So I just want to throw it in here at the tail end. After weeks, even a little over a month of you telling me to do it, I finally got around to starting to watch the show Heels.
So good.
And in 2 days, I had the whole show caught up. I binged all seven episodes. It's officially seven shows in. I binged all seven in 2 days.
I've not watched the seventh episode yet, so...
I won't spoil anything, but it is so well done. The entire show is just so fucking good. I think it's one of those shows, too, where it's great. It's really great if you're in the know. It's like really, really good. If you're a professional wrestling fan, like a real smart mark, if you know your lingo and you know your shit and you know your history and you can pick up things that they talk about and you pick up little Easter eggs and they, cause they drop names and they drop famous matches and famous moments and stuff like that. But even if you've never seen wrestling in your fucking life, it's just such a well-written television show that I think you could still like it.
1,000%. Yeah, great show. Great show. I cannot wait to watch
great cast. Episode. Great,
yeah, they did a great job with everything. Yeah. And you see little guys in the background here and there. Gallows I saw on there an episode. Like,
oh, yeah. I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, he was,
I
didn't notice. He's in the Battle Royal, one of the Battle Royals.
Oh, there. Shit. No kidding.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my one and only gripe with it? The only thing I find annoying? When they talk about that rival league down in Florida, the dystopia.
Yeah, and they keep showing Impact
Wrestling. And they keep showing old TNA clips. Number one, it takes me right out of it because I know it's TNA. So that kind of pisses me off. Like they showed a clip of Abyss versus Raven in the Monsters Ball. Yeah. And then they showed a clip of Damian Priest doing his fucking blood gimmick. You know, I'm like, but all the fucking time they show you, they're showing the six-sided ring. When you finally get to Dystopia, they don't have a fucking six-sided ring.
Oh, I haven't been there yet, so.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's not a big spoiler. Spoiler, they don't have a six-sided ring. So when they get to Dystopia, it looks nothing like they were showing on those ads. That's a little sloppy. As far as I'm concerned. Fair. But other than that, everything else is on fucking point. It's been so good. Every episode is like, holy fuck, I need to watch the next episode. I can't wait till next week.
Awesome, man. I'm excited to watch it. I'll probably watch that when I eventually get home. And I got nothing else this week, man. What about you?
Well, we went over this week, man. That draft took it out of us. So we went a little Broadway this week, but it's okay because that draft was fun. And man, we always got time for some fucking Brian Pillman.
Hell yeah! And next week we got lots of time for Austin versus McMahon, and of course
We're gonna do round two of the drafts. We're gonna do Austin McMahon. I'm excited, man. It's gonna be a good week.
And everything can be found at www.countedout7.com. Head over to our YouTube page as well, where the first installment of the Barrie Wrestling Event Center is up as we speak. So check it out.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give you a little credit. Tyler threw this cool little video of a snippet of our interview with Wildcat Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Telling a cool little story. So go check out that video too, because it's a really fun little story he tells in there.
Yeah, he tells the story about being on the receiving end of Elix Skipper's cage watch.
Yeah.
Cage walk hurricanrana.
A spoiler alert, it hurt.
Yes, best line ever. All right, man. Take us home.
On behalf of me building one of the greatest fantasy wrestling leagues in history, we've been counted out.
Cheers.